for inviting me. In general terms, what I will present is a particular class of closed string configurations that are stabilized against collapse due to the dynamics of the internal degrees of freedom. There are two very different ways of motivating the study of these configurations. The particular class of these appeared first in literature of cosmic strings. So one motivation is natural to ask oneself, what happens? Can we realize these configurations in the case of fundamental strings, these strings, in the context of and embed them in the context of string cosmology and models of brain inflation, for example. And the second motivation is I will argue that the plasmid strings, a particular class of the ones I will mention, provide a microscopic counting of the entropy of certain black objects, namely the dipole black rings. So that's a nice application because that case is gives a counting of entropy in the absence of supersymmetry. What I will present is based on several papers with José Blanco Pillado, and one of them also with Warren Siegel, and another one with together with Robert Amparan. And the outline will be the following. So I will start discussing the classical level. First, with a very simple example to see how this, the mechanism, strings propagating in 3 plus 1 Minkowski space times a circle. Then I will do the embedding of this type of solutions in, the geometry used in models of brain inflation, namely the warped deformed conifold. And I will mention the implications of the appearance of such solutions. I will then introduce the configurations that give title to the talk, the plasmid string configuration. These are take the form of a circular helix, pretty much like the plasmids of the molecules of DNA. That's why the name. And I will do the it's like those molecules but with a single helix, not a double helix. I will do the classical treatment, and then for those, I will do the quantum treatment. In particular, paying attention to the semi-classical description. So taking a semi-classical limit. And this will allow us to identify the type of supergravity solution that this microscopic description corresponds to. So once we have the quantum version, we can compute the degeneracy. The typical degeneracy of these states. And with this, we will be able to compare to the entropy of the supergravity solutions. The dipole black rings. Okay, so that's the plan.
So let me start with this very simple example to see what I'm talking about. So I will consider Nambu-Goto action, so a string with some tension propagating in this background, 3 plus 1 flat space times a circle. So the coordinates, so Nambu-Goto, I will have x mu coordinates, mu from 0 to 4, depending on sigma and tau, the coordinates on the worksheet, and will be from 0, x0 to x3, and the coordinate on the S1, right? So I will choose fixed reparametrizations, choosing x0 to be proportional, well, parallel to the worksheet time. Okay. Once we made the choice, we have to satisfy the constraints. X dot square plus x prime square equals 0, and x dot times x prime equals 0. Those are the two constraints that we have to satisfy. And since this is flat space, the equations of motion for the coordinates are just plane waves in 1 plus 1 dimension. So the general solution will be for the rest of the coordinates, x and theta, well, a sum of right moving function of sigma plus tau, or a left moving one of sigma minus tau, right? There could be an arbitrary sum of those two functions, right? And we will choose for the spatial components, right, x1 to x3, a function of sigma plus. Okay, a vector function of sigma plus. Now, making this choice, one chooses the other coordinate such that the constraints are fulfilled. Okay, so
the constraint means I'm not very familiar with the, because x is a vector, right? So you're taking the
So
what's the x dot square? What's the x?
It means x dot mu. X dot mu, right?
Okay.
Mu x running square from all of them. So this contains x0, and this is x1, 2, 3,
yeah,
and then theta. Right?
So if it was a particle, that would just be the natural condition.
Right. Right.
From us, it's x dot p squared of 0. And then for string, you have some spatial.
It comes from the fact that you have a reparametrization in balance. So
in order to fulfill the, to satisfy the constraints, one gets the function theta, which gets that this function must be of this form. K tau plus a function of sigma plus. And these two equations reduce to one condition for the function f. That derivative of f times derivative of f plus k is the absolute value of, well, the derivative of this function a squared equals 0, okay? Right, it's the coordinate on the circle. if I'm going to?
Right, so we will see. This will be, you will be able to read it from the solution. So, now, this is the translation of this statement. Right? Once you have this, this way to parameterize data. Okay? And you see, for example, immediate solution is take in the 1-2 plane, right? For this vector function to parameterize a circle of radius r. Right? So take x1 and x2 such that you go around the circle, right? As sigma plus advances. Okay, then the absolute value of the derivative of that parameterization is just the radius squared, and you can satisfy this constraint by choosing a linear f, right? Such that, so I can choose f to be b times sigma plus, right? And this will translate into an equation for b, right? B times b plus k plus r squared equals 0, right? So I will be able to choose a b such that this is satisfied and I have a solution to the whole system, okay? Now, see that sigma plus is sigma plus tau. So if I fix tau to 0, for example, then b will measure the winding. That's your question, right?
So the string, so anyway, like k has to be non-zero, right? So the solution
k was here, yeah.
So it's also zero. Like the momentum going around the theta
direction. Yes, yes.
The string sort of going at the speed of light around the theta direction, but then it was also
right. The way to say it is, it has a zero mode.
Yeah.
And then it has a chiral
component.
And
then it's got a left move. Yeah, so zero mode is going around the theta direction. And then it's got a left moving mode going.
Right, right. So it's a zero mode plus a chiral component on top of it. Okay? Well, if you freeze time, you see that you can get a snapshot and you can count the winding in this circle. Okay? So the bigger the radius, the more winding you will have in order to satisfy the constraints and have a consistent solution. Okay, that's a simple case. But now you see this a prime, right, and a vector prime, is just the speed of the parameterization, the vector function a, right? So I can choose an arbitrary shape here
and parameterize it with constant speed and still get the same type of equation, right? F prime times F prime plus K plus that constant speed squared and get the same type of solution, right? So in the solution will be independent of the form of this spatial shape of the loop, and this is known as, well, it doesn't even have to be in the 1-2 plane. It can be 1-2-3 space. This is known as the chiral vortex. Chiral vortex solution, and the interpretation is the following, that viewed from the 3+1 perspective, what you have is a loop of tensional string closed, right? So it will tend to, naturally will tend to shrink, but it doesn't because of the existence of this extra component, right? So what happens is that this chiral component of theta is providing a current along the string that precisely balances the tension at each point. Okay, so this would tend to shrink, but there is this this current making it, well, balancing the tension. Okay, and it's a persistent current, so it doesn't go away. So this is an example of a superconducting string. Well, in the sense that it has, out of the theta, one can construct the current, right? Well, the I theta. And this current is persistent. And the difference with usual superconduction is that in this case the charge carriers are neutral, right? So it's not charged under a gauge, the corresponding gauge field, but it's superconducting in the sense of having that current around it. Okay.
No. Very general question. With normal string theory, when somebody writes the number, so in general you may have other topologies, right? You can have your string.
So in any
dimension, etc.
Yeah, so this is a particular configuration.
And apart from this, everything is the same.
Yeah. Well, you see, this is a toy example because it's in five dimensions. Well,
and it's not critical, no?
But considering that at the classical level, it's fine.
I get back the 4D string if I take theta to zero, or how do I get it back?
Right. Well, if you take theta to zero, you lose the solution.
So the usual diff cosmic S strings, you have, I think, a prime squared equal to 1 or something, but this is a separate solution to that. I can never back double. If I only had 3 plus 1 strings.
Yeah, well, then you have to add other components here, right?
Okay, so.
For example, balance it with a right moving piece.
So this is a separate solution.
Right.
But do you use the fact that it's compact along the theta direction?
Well, in the interpretation of winding. That's the only point where it is. Okay, so now the second point, can we find configurations like of this sort in models of string cosmology? For example, one case we worked out together with Jose was take the supergravity background given by the word deformed conifold is tied to the supergravity, so there are it has constant dilaton and some flat system norm, and the Kalman form also turned on. It's an exact background solution, and it's used in models of brain inflation. Right? So this describes the throat where you have anti-D3 brains at the bottom, and you have D3 brains that, well, their distance provides the inflaton, and then there is an inflation at the bottom that ends inflation. In this region where you have the annihilation of V3s and anti-V3s, you will, in general, produce defects. Can some of those defects become of this type? So what we did is take this geometry, that is a work product of R3 plus 1 with the conifold geometry. The conifold geometry, it's a cone
over a base that for large radius, so the radial direction of the cone, if that radius is large, such topology S2 cross S3. If the radius is small, the S2 collapses, and you're left with a round S3 at the bottom. Okay? And it's here where the D3s and anti-D3s are annihilating, and it's there where we would expect the strings, well, the remaining defects to be present. So we tried to embed a solution of this type in that region. Okay, at the bottom of the deformed conic. And we took the following. In the 3 plus 1, in the 1-2 direction, we took a circular loop, right? Pretty much like the first one I drew. And then we consider around this round S3, the string winding in a maximal circle. Okay, so in the equator of this round S3, we have the string winding, perhaps rotating.
Sorry. I mean, in the first case, you have a circle, right?
So right, so that's the point where I'm going to. So in this case, there seems to be a topological obstruction for these two collapse, right? In this case, you see that this is a tension full string. It would tend to migrate to the poles. But it turns out that you can find a solution fixing this radius R if R is big enough, you enter into a region of stability against these theta perturbations. That is non-trivial.
Isn't it just because you have an S2
over there? The S2 is not present here. It has this collapse. It turns out there is angular momentum. So what it's really, this is also not only wrapping but also spinning. So that gives the extra component that provides the stability.
So there's a critical value of R where the tachyonic mode becomes
right,
massive.
Right.
So what's the critical value?
It depends on the number of windings that you have here.
Okay.
The value of the fluxes that you put in. I won't go into the details. So unlike this case, where one could think, okay, the obstruction is topological, in this case, the stability is purely dynamic. So again, look from the 3 plus 1 dimensional perspective, there is this internal component that is providing the sort of superconducting current that is preventing the collapse. of the loop. Okay. And well, we did this for the fundamental string, so number auto, and then a coupling to the B2 form, and then with the DBI action, and coupling to the C2 form of the random field to describe D1s.
Can I ask you basically just a very stupid question? So, in that story of the bar and I like people say form cosmic strings. So I guess your point is that some of these strings you would form, you know, normally people simulation, they form loops or loops.
Yeah.
But you would say, well, hold on, there's some finite stable size that the loops can.
They may end up in this configuration.
You might end up in here. So, but still, just do you have a sense, just in terms of scales of the problem, as to what will be the typical momentum they acquire? So, what's the sort of typical loop size they would settle to?
No.
Ideally, you would think it would be string, you know.
Well, for that, you would have to do, I guess, a simulation.
Yeah, I think it's still exactly how much energy is in the same bit of momentum.
Well, it's precisely balancing the tension. So the energy will be twice the energy of this. Well, the energy of this is tension times 2 pi r. So yeah, maybe one can do some estimate. We haven't done it. The comment is, if it's easy to produce this configuration, right? You would have the what is known as the Bolton problem in the model. So if you produce too many of these,
you look like monopoles.
Right. So you will have too much energy density there, and that's a problem. But if it turns out to be just a dilute gas, you could maybe use them for a term of the candidate. That's the comment.
Okay, so let me go to the plasmid configuration now. So now we have seen that we can have dynamical stability as opposed to topological stability. So the configuration I will describe now has also dynamical stability. Take it to be x naught to be parallel to tau. And in the directions 1 and 2 to be winding around the circle of radius r. Let's say winding nw times. And in the direction 3, 4, to be winding another circle. Of radius nw over n, winding capital N times. Okay, so these are solutions of Nambu-Goto action satisfying the constraints, and the form of this, if you make these are in you see I have 4 spatial directions. If I do some sort of projection. They would look like this. So winding nw times in the x1, x2 plane and winding capital N times in the 3-4 plane. So it becomes a helix, and because this depends on sigma minus tau and this depends on sigma plus tau, this helix is advancing around the circle as time goes by, right? And we will work in the limit where we have this N winding, NW, is much less than capital N. So this is a strong suppression, right? So we have much more winding in the 3-4 direction, and this becomes like, right, something like this. So it's essentially a circular string with some microstructure of wiggles that are advancing in the loop. And well, the analog of what we have here is this microstructure that is providing the stability against collapse. Okay. Now we can compute the properties. So for example, the angular momentum in the 1-2 plane is given by with a square here, NW R square over alpha prime. The angular momentum in the 3-4 plane is this quantity suppressed by this ratio. So it's NW square over N alpha prime R square. So you see, in this limit, the angular momentum is dominated by the 1-2 component. Okay? And we can compute the mass. And the mass is 2NW over alpha prime R, right? Without the 2, would be the mass, right, is tension times circumference of a string winding NW times with radius R, right? But there is this factor 2, and that is because we have this microstructure that is precisely balancing the tension. So we have twice the energy of a single static string winding NW times, okay?
That's where you get problem. You get close to this being a black hole, no? Maybe I'm missing the point. So if, or no, sorry, I'm saying something.
Let me go ahead. Maybe you're going the right track.
Yeah, I don't know how this goes, but you certainly don't want the string to be within its own torsion radius. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that may happen. Okay, so we took here just that in the directions x3 and 4, this has the form of a circle winding, right? We can have a much more general expression for the microstructure. We can have a Fourier decomposition of a function of sigma plus. The constraint is just one relation for the coefficients of that Fourier decomposition. So there is a much more richer class of solutions where we have a circle with this angular momentum, this mass, and a microstructure preventing the collapse. Okay, so there is a wider class and a lot of degeneracy. given this set, well, one winding and W radius R, this mass and this angular moment. So in order to compute the degeneracy, we will have to go to the quantum treatment. First, let me give you a simple mechanical argument to see why J and M are related in this way. So you see there is a relation chain 1-2. Between J12 and the mass square, okay? So one way to think about this is consider a string, so this wire in a circle. So the energy has two pieces, one is and has some momentum. Okay, take a string on a circle with momentum on winding. Right, so now the energy has two pieces. One is the discrete values of the momentum and the winding component, the number of times you wind times the diameter times the tension. Okay.
Now, in our case, the radius is not fixed, so it could vary. So varying R and demanding stability with respect to changes in R, one gets the equilibrium condition. And it turns out, well, you take derivative, solve. That you get this relation. That if you read from here, it's precisely the relation for the angular momentum, recalling that instead of having just momentum, in our case, we have angular momentum around the string. So we can understand in mechanical terms this relation and the relation between the mass and the angular momentum with this simple argument.
Right.
Okay, so let me do the quantum analysis. In the end, I want to compute the degeneracies and match to a supergravity solution. So what I want to have is a semi-classical description in reality. So I will try to get a coherent state description of this type of solutions, okay? Or build what is more similar to a coherent superposition of states that will give rise to that configuration. So, well, so take the usual decomposition. For the coordinates in terms of right moving left moving components. Okay. So coefficients for left moving and right moving components of the coordinates. In order to quantize, we go to Lycom gauge. As is usual, define a coordinate x plus to be x0 plus x25 if you're in bosonic strings, or x9 if you're in superstrings, to be proportional to tau. And then solve the constraints. So you solve the Virasoro constraints that I had over there for the minus components, okay? So you obtain an expression for this alpha minus n and alpha tilde minus n from solving the Virasoro constraints. Okay. After you do that, there is still one more component of the constraints remaining. Okay. Where this NL is alpha n I alpha minus n alpha n contracted like that. And this is the same with tildes, okay? What this constraint means is that we have yet not fixed one residual symmetry after choosing Lycom gauge, okay? That residual symmetry is the shift of sigma by a constant epsilon, okay? It's a rigid rotation of the origin of coordinates of the string, okay? So what people usually do is impose the constraint on physical states, okay? Have a condition like NL minus NR acting on a physical state must be zero, and that's the physical state condition. So they impose a constraint at the quantum level. If you do that, you will never obtain a configuration with expected value of the coordinates like this. What you obtain in that situation is that the expected value of any coordinate is fixed at a point, okay? And that's because you have not fixed the symmetry. So what that means is you are taking an average of all possible gauge configurations when you're looking at your physical states. And taking an average over all possible origins of sigma, what gives you is, for x mu, the center of mass position. Okay. And that's a general result. If you impose a constraint at the quantum level, you are doomed to obtain this. Now, this, so that's this statement. If you do this, then you will obtain that. Now, what we do instead, what we will do is fix the residual symmetry. So we will add an extra gauge fixing term, and what we will do is fix one of the modes in this decomposition to be such that we obtain this expression for the expected value of the coordinates x1 and x2. Okay. So we fix this one, and we solve the constraint for the conjugate of this one. Okay. And having doing this, we obtain the expressions we wanted. Well, that's for, sorry. We fix one of the components in the direction 2. So the that fixes the expected value for x2. We solve for this one. We replace in the decomposition. We obtain part of the expression we have there. And then for the other one, to fix this to represent a circle, we take a coherent state. That now we are able to, because we have not imposed this condition. So the coherent state you have to take in the one direction is that one. Sorry, with that minus there.
You're doing a path interval and you have a zero mode because of a unit symmetry.
Right. Right.
If you just do it naively, your state is not normal.
Well, what you get is in the path interval, you get the average of all possible choices of this. So that gives you for the expected value of x mu is the average of starting at each of the sigma points, right? And that gives the center of mass.
So there's a standard like coordinate point field.
Mm-hmm.
The standard way to deal with that kind of situation, like coordinate.
Well, what we are doing is fixing the symmetry. The alternative. So you do this for the left moving part of the state, the right moving part. That would correspond to the microstructure. You can take in an arbitrary state. The only condition is the value of this. So you can put excitations in the right moving state, but up to some level, right? So you have to respect that level. And the condition is this one. So if you do this, then the expression for this is what I have over there. And a similar expression for 3 and 4. Okay. You can compute the angular momentum and mass for this, and you obtain the same relations that you have here. So what we have is a coherent state description in terms of microstates of the plasmid string.
So given a certain radius and winding, we obtain the same mass and angular momentum relations. And the freedom we have in the choice of the state is represented here in the arbitrarily we can choose excitations up to this level. Okay. So
these life engage equations are linear. Mm-hmm. Right? So you can, I mean, any classical configuration you're going to be able to describe the state.
Yeah, so that's,
yeah,
that's
the only hard thing is the constraints.
Right. So
I guess in life engage.
Well, we have to deal with this problem. If you don't do this, there's no way to get a length to get the coherent state. Okay, so from here, from demanding this, that the level of the five movers has to be this number, comes all the degeneracies of these configurations. So it's the number of ways to fill it with right movers up to that level. Well, there's a standard way to compute this degeneracy, the way to fill with states up to a certain level, and it's known to how it behaves for large values of nr. So the degeneracy for large nr grows exponentially. There is a number here that depends on the theory you're working with, if it's heterotic, if it's bosonic, like 2a to b. And the square root of nr. So taking the logarithm of these degeneracies, one can get an expression for the entropy, essentially a square root of nr, that is nothing but n omega, sorry, nw j 2. So we get this estimate for the entropy. And well, up to the coefficient input.
Okay, and now we will match this to a supergravity solution. So there are in supergravity in five dimensions, there are known known supergravity solutions with in the form of circular loops with a certain radius and with angular momentum and dipole of the B2 form. These are known as dipole black black rings.
It's inside its own Schwarzschild radius.
Okay.
Supergravity descriptions.
Right, so we want to avoid that region.
No, I thought you won that regime, no? Because
sorry?
It must be that the regime that maps to the black rings is the large entropy regime. And when the, this is not a black hole, it's just a string, but it's only a large entropy.
Well, but these are string-like configurations, right?
But they're black strings, right? They're going to be. They have some horizon, presumably.
One second.
Okay.
Not yet. So they, as they count like this, they have a naked singularity.
Okay.
Okay. So they have two parameters, R and mu. Mu measures the dipole of the D2 form, R measures the radius. And this mu, with this mu, one can define the charge that is related to the winding. And we're going to build the alien mass for this. And the angular momentum. So the mass is, well, the expression we have over there. With a correction, where we have G Newton and W pi alpha prime r. And the angular momentum is the one we have seen. Also with a correction proportional to G Newton. And this, what this represents is the gravitational self interaction of the ring with itself. So we will work in the approximation where this is negligible, that is the thin ring. Approximation where this is much less than one. Okay, and we have matching between this description and that description. Okay. Okay. For these ones, the solution is known exactly. Okay. It's, the metric is a generalization of the C metric for axial symmetric Maxwell instant theories.
And one can take the thin ring limit and see that these are of the type of the F fundamental strings with momentum P, P strings in that limit. And for those, well, those have zero area horizon. And what one does to obtain a value for the entropy is add higher derivative terms. Once you add higher derivative terms, this singularity becomes a horizon. One obtains a stretch horizon for the solution. And there is a scaling argument by Sen that gives, in general, not only for, well, for higher dimension. How the entropy goes in that case. And it goes like, for the P strings with momentum P, it goes like NP. And W. Okay, and if we make the replacement we were making before, instead of considering momentum, because we have a circular string, we have angular momentum. We get matching between this counting and the one we obtain.
But still, it must somehow be only at large n w. You normally make these correspondences for large numbers, right? To compare with the supergravity solution, the entropy has to be large.
Well, we get the entropy on that side from considering this stretch for us.
Right. But for the supergravity thing to be a relevant description, to compare the two, you'd have to be looking at large W. On one side you have a horizon, on the other you don't. And the normal argument is that if you have a very highly excited string, then its mass is sufficient that it collapses inside its own Schwarzschild radius. And then that's the case where you identify the problem.
In this case, you do it in the way of... This is analogous to this small black hole.
Yeah, sure. Right. That's it's black hole.
So I think I am stop here.
Okay, well, I think I'm going to.